When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today in the Grave Talks, Smoky and Demonic, a conversation with Brian John Laverty. Ever since he was a child, Brian John Laverty had a passion for the paranormal, discovering his abilities to see things other kids couldn't see. Even though he had these abilities, it was something he hid from his friends and family. He always found himself around spirits, seeing things almost wherever he went. Over the years, Brian's been on many investigations and realized this is what he was meant to do, to discover what lies beyond death. This is his story today on The Grave Talks.
Well, my earliest memory is as a kid, I could always see things that other kids couldn't see. So I definitely would be somewhere and I would see something and I would say something to, or I would tell that other person something that I could see and they couldn't see it. So I knew I was different from other kids. Mm-hmm. And I guess when I was about 15 years old, I had my very first experience on being touched.
Okay.
I had a friend that his grandmother passed away. And so I went down there to see him to see how he was doing about 3 weeks after she passed away. And we were sitting in his bedroom talking. And all of a sudden, I felt something touch my wrist. And then all of a sudden I felt something lean against my shoulder, like it was a head. And it lasted for about 30 seconds. And in the middle of all that, I was telling my friend, there's something touching me and there's something leaning against me. And he goes, what are you talking about? I go, there's something touching me. And he goes, oh, come on, give me a break. And I look to my right and there's an indent in the bed, like somebody sitting beside me. And it lasted for about 30 seconds and then it was gone. The funny thing about all of that is his grandmother used to do that all the time to me when she was alive. So we kind of figured it was his grandmother. And I know other paranormal investigators experience when they're being touched, it's like a cold feeling, but this was a very, very warm feeling. And it was almost like she was saying goodbye. And it lasted for about 30 seconds, then it was gone. And And that really got me into paranormal. And I really wanted to try to figure out what kind of abilities I had. Now, keeping in mind, with my family, they were non-believers, and they didn't believe any of that stuff. So with my abilities, I kept a secret for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And so I just became a big fan of the paranormal and watched a lot of shows and watched, you know, videos. I was just a big fan. And about 9 years ago, I had a friend that was with a paranormal local group, and he asked me if I wanted to come out. And that's when paranormal investigations began for me.
So let's take it way back before we get into how you got into investigating and all of that. You said you just kind of knew that things were a little bit different. You had that feeling with your grandmother, mm-hmm. that moment that you had. Tell me more about that feeling. What were some of those things that you were kind of, you know, raising an eyebrow to, and how did you go about when you were younger, and what sort of other experiences did you have that really made you recognize there's something else going on here?
Well, in that particular moment, like I said earlier, it was a very warm feeling. It was a very caring feeling. And, it was just a warm sensation. It was like a loving sensation. I wasn't scared. I felt very comfortable. And for that split moment, it was almost like she was saying goodbye to me, mm-hmm. and saying thank you for being there, and thank you for being here now, for your support. And it was just very loving and very caring. And as a child, I used to, you know, go everywhere and anywhere, and I would be seeing things that I don't think my family would be seeing or friends would be seeing.
Tell me about that a little bit. Tell me more about some of those things that where you said you're out and you're seeing things, but they're not seeing them. Tell me more about that.
Okay, so when I see things, and it's always been like this since I was a child, I don't necessarily see facial features. What I basically see is like a black, it's almost like a black mass that I see. And when it's a spirit, but when it's something on the more demonic side, I see more of a, it's almost like a black translucent smoke. And unfortunately, I can't see facial features and I can't hear them, but I have the feeling of knowing that it's either a male or a female spirit. And it was just something I got used to over the years. And as a kid, obviously, I wasn't sure what it was or what was going on with me. And it wasn't until I got till about, you know, my mid-teens that I really started discovering what I was able to do.
Would what you're describing be what a lot of people would refer to as shadow people?
You know, I've been asked that question before, and it's possible. But when I see something demonic, and honestly, I've only seen probably about five in my lifetime. And with it being so translucent and moving so slowly, I don't refer that as a shadow person, no.
Interesting, because I always wondered about that when people describe the shadow person kind of phenomena. I don't necessarily assume it's demonic. I don't necessarily assume it's a person. I don't necessarily know that we know what it is right away, because I think sometimes these things just seem to, you know, that's just how they're being projected or how we're picking them up in certain ways, where it could be either or. But just because it's dark and shadowy doesn't necessarily mean that it's demonic. But what I found interesting of what you said was what you thought or interpreted as non-demonic. They were more solid shadows, but the more smoky you interpreted as being more negative.
Correct. Correct. And it's always been like that. For example, I can give you a little bit of a story. There was a restaurant that I went to about 3 years ago. I walked in and I saw this spirit walking around with the waiter. And I found it really interesting. And I wanted to approach the waiter and say, listen, and I wanted to tell him what I was seeing. But, you know, sometimes when you tell people that kind of stuff, they get kind of taken back by it. So he came to our table and I basically said, I said, let me ask you a question. It might be a really weird question. Have you had somebody recently die in your life? And he said, yes, my mother died about 6 months ago. Well, I knew it was a female and I knew it was his mother. And he was taken back by that, obviously, thought it was a little bit weird, but I think he felt comfortable knowing that his mother was with him. And I hope he took comfort in that.
Did you describe to him how you sensed his mother was there?
And I didn't really get into a full description of it. I just said, there's somebody following you everywhere you go in the restaurant. And it's definitely a woman. And he thought maybe it was his mother. I knew it was his mother. And it, like I said before, it took him back a little bit, but I think he was happy to hear that.
How often do you have the experience of seeing something or some sort of figure that follows people around? And is it more frequent where it's something like that, where it's someone that's going about their business and there's something following a person that you're encountering it? Or is it more frequent where they're just kind of by themselves, not necessarily attached to another living person?
It's both. But the weird thing about my ability is I don't see it all the time. And I could be walking down the street and I could see it. And then I could be walking down the street the next day and not see it. Doesn't necessarily mean there might not be something there. It's just, I might not be seeing it at that point. It does, unfortunately, with my abilities, it doesn't happen all the time. And I've been told there is a reason for that, is because I grew up in a family that they were non-believers and always telling me that, oh, that stuff doesn't exist. People that are mediums, it's all, you know, it's all fake and all that stuff. So I think a lot of that negativity is still in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. And every time I see something, I go, okay, in the front of my head, it's saying, okay, you're seeing it. But in the back of my head, I hear my family saying, no, it's not there. So I've been told by a few mediums the reason why that happens is because of that negativity in the back of my head. So I'm not opening myself up completely to it.
Do you feel like you want to open yourself up more to it? Do you feel like you're in control here of turning it on and turning it off? Or are you more just kind of at the will of what your, you know, your subconscious says, okay, we're going to deal with today?
Well, it's only been in the last couple of years where I've been able to open myself up a little bit more. I have a YouTube channel that on my second season of the YouTube channel, I had a medium on the second season, and she really helped me open up a lot more than I had in the past. And so I'm able to see him a lot more frequently, but I still, every so often, I don't see them. So
do you have any, when you look at that, where you say every so often you don't see them, and then, you know, every, is it more so that you see them versus not?
That's a tough question. When I go into a place and investigate, I would say that I don't see them as much as I would like to. So it's probably, I probably don't see him as much as I should. So it's probably less frequently than more.
Do you do anything to try and open yourself up more to be able to see them? Is there any sort of trigger or thing like that that helps you, you know, I guess, be more open to your abilities and sensing those things and picking them up?
No, not really. When I go into a place to investigate, I try to talk to myself and try to open myself up, but I just haven't perfected it yet. I've been seeing a few mediums to help me perfect it, but again, it's one of those things where if I walk into a place, if I see it, then I know I'm opened up enough to see them. And if I don't see anything, then I know I don't. For example, I just released a video on Paraflix, that it's a three-part series of Burwash Prison, which is located in Ontario. I walked into a room and I saw it right away. And so I brought out the SB7 and I captured quite a few EVPs on the SB7 in that particular room when I saw it.
When you are investigating, do you tend to get more evidence on days where you feel that you are naturally sensing things versus days that you're not?
Sorry, go ahead.
Versus days where you're not sensing them?
Definitely. When I'm seeing them or sensing them, as you put, I definitely capture a lot more evidence. Mm-hmm. When I'm not, I still capture evidence, but not as much. So definitely a good question, because that does happen.
Oh. Let's jump a little bit forward. So you recognize that you had these abilities as a child, that you were kind of seeing these things, and you said your family really was not they weren't believers. They weren't into this. This wasn't necessarily something you're going to talk about and get a whole lot of feedback on as being legitimate. How did you handle that as a kid, knowing that you were having these experiences, but everyone around you was saying, no, I don't think so?
I would say it was difficult at times, because I would be with my family. I would see something, and then, you know, the first thing you want to do is go, oh my God, look at over here. I can see this. And I couldn't do that. So it was definitely difficult at times, but I definitely got used to it. I got used to putting it in the back of my head that they wanted nothing to do with that. And, you know, so like I said, it was difficult at times, but I overcame all that. So I got to a point where when I saw something, it was just, I saw it and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any family today that, you know, that has an opinion on how you're doing this? Do you communicate with anybody today about what you're doing?
There are a few family members that know, but unfortunately, my mother passed away about 4 years ago. So, she obviously she doesn't know, but, unfortunately, several years ago, I lost contact with a lot of my family members, mm-hmm. On a personal issue, but there are a few family members that do know, and, they are surprised. Mm-hmm. They still question it, but they are surprised.
It makes me wonder sometimes, you know, when a family, you know, is very, no, we're not going to talk about this. We're not going to have the conversation. And it's all just kind of shunned, if you will. But sometimes many years later, you look back and you end up finding, you know, a sibling or a cousin or somebody that goes, I had the same things going on, but I couldn't talk about it either. That's why I wonder if there's anybody, if you had anybody like that in your world, and maybe you did, maybe you didn't, that also kind of said to you, yeah, I get you. I know that everybody else over there doesn't, but I've had it too. Because a lot of it does seem to be genetic in some cases.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the family I'm talking about is an adopted family, because I was adopted. Mm-hmm. But my biological family, they know, like my sisters know, and my biological mother knows. But the reason they know is because my biological mother's mother, she was a medium.
Okay.
So they figured that's where I got my abilities from.
Sure. So it made some sense. Was your adoptive family aware of your biological grandmother being a medium?
No.
Okay.
No.
They didn't know any of that.
And unfortunately, that's one of the reasons why the family kind of, I separated from the family. Mm-hmm. Not to get too much deep into it, but sure, they didn't approve of me meeting my real mother.
I understand. Okay. And that of course can sometimes cause a rift, and I get that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me more about, as you, like I said, as you were getting older, you were having these experiences, you know, something's different. You're not really getting any support from your family. As you kind of got a bit older, you know, into teenage years and then beyond that, what were you doing with it? Were you kind of just sitting there, like letting it be? Were you still curious? What, you know, that gap of time between getting into paranormal investigating and, you know, getting into early adulthood. What was that like?
Honestly, it's just something I kept to myself. When I saw it, I saw it. I didn't really do anything about it. I will say, though, as I got a little bit older, I did a lot more research on people that had abilities like me, mm-hmm. and finding out a lot more things and stuff like that. And just finding it, I always found it interesting that what I could see and anybody I researched, they weren't seeing the same thing, or anybody else I was talking to, they weren't seeing it. And they were saying, you know what, you're different. There's something going on there that's completely different from the rest of us. And I don't think anybody's really been able to figure it out. I haven't, surely. But honestly, I just kept it to myself for many, many years. And like I said, when I saw it, and I just moved on.
And eventually you were kind of drawn, though, into investigating and to looking at things from an investigative standpoint. How did you fall into that?
Well, I fell into that because I had a friend that knew a local group where I lived, and they did paranormal investigations. And that was about 9 years ago. And so they wanted me to come out and see if I wanted to join. Now, I will let you know, none of them knew about my abilities. And so I went out with them, and I got thrown into the deep end pretty quickly, because the investigation that we were doing was on a home, mm-hmm. and they had a demonic presence in their home. And when I got there, I knew right away what was going on. And it was basically in the family room, and it was definitely demonic. And it was just floating around the room, and it was almost like it was trying to take over the room, or it was like the king of the room, you know what I mean? And so that was my first real experience when it came to paranormal investigating.
And that's quite a first experience to have, where it's something that dark. Give me some of the background on the case. Was the team that you were working with, were they already, you know, working this case, or did it all kind of begin as you joined to kind of learn and study and kind of do some of the research that, you know, would lead you to believe this thing is demonic?
From what I was told, they were just called because this family was experiencing some pretty violent things in their home.
Like what?
And doors opening, plates being thrown, toys being thrown across the room, one of the kids being touched a lot. And so they were just experiencing all kinds of different things in this home. So I guess somehow there was a connection with somebody knew somebody that was in this group, and they were called to ask to come out and investigate. And because I knew this person that knew somebody in the group, they asked me if I wanted to come out because I was interested in joining a team. So when I got there, like I said earlier, when I got there and I got to the front doorstep, they opened the door. The family room was to the left, and I knew what was going on right away. I didn't tell anybody what was going on. And so I was just more as an observer for the first time on being on an investigation. And I tell you, I wanted to leave really badly. And because it was almost like this demonic energy was just looking at me the whole time, knowing that I could see it. And at one point during the investigation, it was probably about 20 minutes in, and I turned to the guy and I said, listen, how long do you guys normally investigate for? And they go, what are you talking about? We just got here. And it's because I knew what was going on, and I didn't want to tell them. I look back at it, and maybe I should have, but yeah, it was definitely an interesting first time experience for sure.
How did you feel that you knew that you could identify it as demonic, having not been on any investigations in the past, but you obviously having your own personal experiences? Had you had run-ins in the past with things that you felt were demonic?
Yes. And I think it was about 18 when I saw my first one. And it was different from what I was seeing before. And I could feel the negativity from it. And I could feel the, I don't want to say evil. I mean, that would be the wrong word to use. It was just very, very negative. And when I get that feeling, it's like an overwhelming feeling in my body that is telling me that, okay, this is bad, this is wrong, and this is something powerful. And be careful. And my whole body's telling me that. But when I see a spirit, just a regular spirit, it's not like that at all.
What was that incident? Tell me about that. Paint the picture for me, other than just that happened. But where did this happen? How did this happen? What was the environment in which you thought you came across something and felt that it was, in fact, demonic?
Well, as kids or as teenagers, we all like to explore different places. And around the corner from where I lived, there was an abandoned house, and it was a famous house in the area for something being in there. Mm-hmm. And so kids would always go there and explore this place. And so one day a bunch of friends asked if they wanted to go, and I went, and there it was in the house. And this house was very dark, and it almost like it was a house, but it almost looked like a castle. It wasn't a castle, but it had a long peak at the front of the house, like a castle would, and it was abandoned. And kids would go in there all the time and party and stuff like that. And one weekend they asked if we wanted to go, and I went, and there it was. And I said, I'm not staying, and I didn't stay.
With feeling what you felt about that entity, how did you know that it was something demonic versus something that was just really negative? I mean, do you have ways? I mean, maybe in a perspective and time, you know, kind of gives you more of that. But at the time, did you immediately think demonic, or were you wondering, you know, is this just like a real, you know, it was a spirit, but it was somebody that was, you know, horrible, if you will, in life?
Yeah. And I'm glad you asked me that, because when I see something demonic, like I said earlier, it's translucent and it moves very slowly in a room. But again, I get that overwhelming feeling that it's not good. It's bad. It's again, I don't want to use the word evil, but I guess I can. It's just, I get that overwhelming feeling when it's something negative. It's not nearly as strong or like going over my body as it is when it's something demonic. So when I walked into that place and I saw it, and I just knew right away it was not good, and yeah, it was bad, and we shouldn't be there. They wanted to stay. I left. And from what I know about this place, nothing ever really happened to anybody, but I'm unclear if that's true or not. I don't know. So it's just a feeling that I have, and I can't explain it, and I wish I could.
So, I mean, I think you're doing a good job of trying to explain how it feels, and that's, that's what it's all about, just trying to learn, you know, everybody's abilities and how they interpret things. So let's go back to that house that you were investigating, and you're getting this feeling right away that this is something demonic there. Now, of course, you know, if you're brand new to an investigative team, you know, the for things so many people jump into right away is saying, demon, demon, demon. And, you know, more times than not, it's not. Were you keeping your mouth shut because you didn't want to be labeled that guy that's like, it's his first time out and now, yep, he's got a demon?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head with that one. Again, I was there for more as an observer if I wanted to continue doing it. Mm-hmm. But again, like I said earlier, I knew what it was right away, and so I kept my mouth shut, but I watched it. I watched it very, very closely, and even some of the guys in the investigation were looking at me, going, "Brian, what is going on? Yeah. You look really weird." And I'm meeting some of these people for the first time. And I was trying to be careful because I didn't want them to think I was some kind of, you know, crazy person or something like that. But I just kept my mouth shut. I watched what they're doing. I was learning. And let me put it this way. I was glad I was gone. Now, they were going back to do other investigations. I just didn't go. I wasn't interested in going back to that place, to be honest.
So you never did return?
No. I didn't.
But I will tell you,
they went back a few times, and they actually, from what I understand, they brought a medium back, and they went in even as far as to bring a priest, and nothing could be done.
Yeah.
And the family ended up moving away from the house.
When you come across something like that, that is demonic, and you're an investigator, and you know every investigator essentially has to know their abilities, their limits, their roles. Just being an investigator doesn't mean you can get rid of a demon. It doesn't mean you can move a ghost on. It doesn't mean you should be even attempting any of those things. It doesn't mean you're Superman.
And I don't do that.
And I know you don't think that. I know some that do. And that's the interesting thing. So when you come across something like that, and you come across, especially on your first time out investigating something that you are feeling, and you're correlating with another experience in your life that was negative, that you would say is demonic, is it really kind of a crossroads there where, you know, either you can walk away from this thing and hope nothing comes along and move on? Or, you know, what sort of things does one risk if they choose to continue investigate and almost, you know, poke a stick at something that, is in fact demonic?
Yeah. Well, for myself, I can't speak for anybody else, but for myself, what I tend to do is, again, I learned from a medium on how to protect myself to make sure that nothing's following me home, nothing's attaching to my equipment or anything like that. But I really don't. When I go in to investigate, I go in to investigate a place and then I leave. And if it's something really demonic, then what I'll generally do is call somebody I know who's a medium that knows how to cleanse and try to bring them back and cleanse it. Mm-hmm. But I don't get into that area of cleansing and stuff like that. I know with other people, and I've told other people this in the past, that if you have a bad feeling about a place, and if there's something in your gut and your head telling you that this place is bad, because I think the gut instinct is good and it helps, then I say, you know what, just leave and don't put yourself in harm's way, because I don't think people realize when it comes to demonic entities, they're bad and they could do a lot of bad things, and they could do it to you while you're there, or they can do it to you while they're in your home. And you just have to be careful. But I see too many investigators out there taking too many risks just to capture evidence, and they're putting themselves in harm's way.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Brian John Laverty. In part two, has Brian ever had a situation where something dark or demonic followed him home? If a spirit wants to follow someone home, do you have a choice as an investigator? What are some examples of situations where some of Brian's colleagues ended up bringing a demon home? And is there ever a sure way to cleanse a location of something demonic? And can someone that was once human become evil or demonic on the other side? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.